Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We're narrowing in on the end of this chapter. We've been working our way through Ephesians. Trust there's been something good that you could get out of each of them. I just messed up my page here. Okay. So, if you've been studying and following along, you know that today is talking about children and parents. Just for your information, we're all children, so it applies to all of us. And some are parents, and some are grandparents, and some are aunts and uncles, and some are brothers and sisters in the house of God who have huge responsibility and opportunity to bless all the children. So this word is for us all. I want to read it together. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, and we've all just let them go, those children, but children, we are all children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament Ten Commandments, it's just before don't kill. It's an important one. Amen? Honor your parents and obey them. And then fathers, I think it's amazing. He puts specifics. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. May God bless his word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? So, parents and children, what can we say? Put up that first slide. There's just, you know, I was doing some reading. The next slide, thank you. And there's just a truckload of stuff that you could talk about, that you could go after. And, you know, just the simple looking at these verses, you break it down to obey is immediate, honor is long-term with a promise. That's a pretty good preach right there, if you just stayed there. Fathers, don't provoke, don't exasperate, don't frustrate your children. Discipline them and train and raise them up in the instruction of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go home. Let's just do that. And we're fine. God's way, as Brad said in the prayer meeting or here this morning, I can't remember, but God's ways are always the best. If we just simply would get that, his ways are the best. And they work. But first of all, basics for all of us kids created by God. Next slide. This is where I was reading. I think it was Chuck Swindoll or one of these powerful minds. But he says, we need, you know, what are the... God created us all unique. He's created us with abilities and desires and just huge variety. Just look around the room at the sense of humor God has. Wow. If you have four kids, you got four different people to deal with. And it's just how it is. But he's made us different. There's three things we need to know to live a healthy life is what I was coming to. Knowing who we are, accepting who we are, and learn to become who we are. And there's books written on that, and we can discuss it, and we can talk about it, and we'll talk on some of it this morning. But, you know, parents, I don't think... Maybe there's a few here. I don't think any of us as parents plan to neglect our kids. I don't think my parents plan to neglect us. In fact, they worked hard all our life to feed eight kids and grow us up in university and colleges and all the things, feed and clothe. But I don't know where you guys are at, but I don't know how much time, other than absorbing it and kind of collecting it, was spent on helping me to know who I am. Mostly, it's kind of a slap on the head and pick up your feet and smarten up. It's like, okay, that's a good start. Accepting who you are and then learn to become who you are. You know, if you can learn to accept who you are and then working that out, becoming who you are, again, as I said, there's just too much talk and too much information we could spend there, but it helps you from becoming envious and comparing and spending all your time wondering why I'm not someone else and who's the best, and just to be able to accept who we are and know that God's got a plan for our life. And so that's kind of where I want to start this morning. We'll get to Ephesians. I'll come back to it more in the end, but you've all heard the sermons, you know, the 10 rules for raising kids. And then it becomes 10 suggestions when you actually have kids. And then as the kids get older, well, some things I tried. Good luck. Go for it. Do your level best. There's no simple answers to this thing, but the Word of God speaks a lot about our children and about us and about our families. And so I want to spend some time. We need to help our kids to know. I think it is Rick Warren in his book, you know, Purpose-Driven Life or whatever. He's had a bunch of them. But the greatest day of your life is the day you're born. But I think it's in the first paragraph, and I don't know who he's quoting, but the next best day in your life is when you figure out what your purpose was. Why were you born? What are we on the planet? Solomon says that in Ecclesiastes. He said, I'll read it because you can go to it if you want. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. But he just says, remember the Creator in your youth, in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near on which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end. Verse 12. And much study is a weariness of flesh. And all the students say, amen. But the end of the matter, this is after he's just, I mean, Solomon the wise, Solomon, you read Ecclesiastes, everything is vanity under the sun. He's you name it, he's done it. Women, education, wealth, everything. And he comes to this conclusion. He says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, amen, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Hallelujah. So if you forget everything else I'm going to say later today, how are you doing, how am I doing at speaking identity and life and value and purpose and what in the world we're doing on this planet? How well are you at helping your kids? Helping one another. Let's make it about one another. But specifically to our kids, specifically to our family. Talking with Brad this week, he was thankful for a youth leader in his son's life who is pulling good things out of his son in their school and through the situations that they're in. And I could talk about, you know, our lighthouse, and I can talk about our kids' ministry, and I can talk about family. Like, we all have a responsibility. You know, how many times have we dedicated children in this house and said, okay, how many are prepared to, you know, walk with these families, pray with them, make Christianity look attractive, whatever. I've asked you to commit to everything. And every time I ask, we all just put up our hands. And it's real. We have a responsibility as the family of God, as the mothers, fathers of this house to live something out, to show something to our kids and to the family of God. So who is it that God's putting in your path? Grandkids, family, members, schools, where? That you say, I have something, I see something in that person. And I could tell you stories, my stories, I could tell you other people's stories, and maybe I will, but it's like, sometimes it's a teacher, sometimes it's a youth worker, sometimes it's a leader, sometimes it's just a family friend that sees something in someone's life and calls it out. You know, a talent. I think my brother and I, I think our music teacher, maybe it's the only one that ever did it, called my mother and said, please don't send these kids to music lessons anymore. You're wasting your money. I took piano lessons for 6 years. And once she started blotting out the numbers, not the notes, the number, you know, the finger numbers, 1, 3, 2, 6 years was finished. Couldn't play a note. Please, don't waste your money. But there are other talents that people see. And we need to pull them out as parents, as godly men and women in the house of God. Let's broaden it. We speak life. We can encourage. We can help one another. Is that okay? Others can help us realize who we are and draw out the musician or draw out the painter, draw out the gifts. How, like I said, I'm trying to think of my own upbringing. I don't think there's ever a time, I was told lots of times you're stupid and silly ass and all that stuff. Lots. I guess I could say that more than, but all I know is my mom, she would say, everyone in this family goes to university and gets a degree. They valued that. That was valuable. So without talking about it, it was just kind of massaged into life. But I don't remember having so many, you know, one-to-one conversations with my dad about my purpose and value and where I'm heading in my life, except to say, if you go to Bible school, you pay your own way. You go to university, we'll cover it all. But so how are we doing? That's the question. How are you doing as a parent? I know when you're in the midst of it and it's snot and trauma and it's life and diapers and get up for school and get to bed, sometimes you can kind of lose the big purposes of God speaking into the value of human life. It's like, you want to live long on this earth? You better obey me. Because I brought you in, I can take you out. That's not exactly scripture. But there's times in life when you're just surviving. But then there are those moments, and I just want to encourage it to speak life, to spend the time and make it happen. So let's look at Proverbs 22. Let's talk about children first. Put up that next slide. I think I got them in the right order here. Can you read that? I just put a few different translations of Proverbs 22, verse 6. Let's talk about kids first. He says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. Amen? Another translation, I forget, maybe it was my own, but train up a child according to his or her way. But then the Living Bible, which has the recipe for Rice Krispies squares and all of that in it, says, according to their gifts or bents. I like that. And the Amplified Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Hallelujah. So what's he saying is, like, every child is created by God unique. Every one of us, totally different styles and likes and attitudes and hearts. And, you know, a lot is shaped by environment that we live in, but a lot of it is shaped by our character and who we are, what we're born with. And you'll see from infancy, like, it's amazing. You see one of your children, they're quiet. Their style is different. Then you'll have the wild one, and you'll have this one, and you'll have that one. And it takes the wisdom of God. That's what I'm trying to challenge you with this morning. It takes the wisdom of God, the patience of God, the love of God to be able to speak to each child and deal with each one and find out what works and what doesn't work. With Nicole, when she was little, she would wake up in the morning and say, Dad, can I get out of bed? And we'd say, yes, dear. And she would get out of bed and be happy. Or if we had to get her up for something, I'd go, Nicole, ding, her eyes would open. Hi, morning. Live her life. I won't mention Melanie. Why are you laughing? She was an angel. But I will mention Kyle because he's not here and he lives in Australia. Whoa. You could beat that child with a belt. He had his own plan. But we learned, just touch his money. Yes, Dad, yes, Dad, yes, Dad. You got to find the ways to work with each child and raise them up, train them up. And I'll get to that. I want to get that more in a minute. But every child's different. If you have three children, you have three ways to raise them. What works for one probably won't work for the next. And it's okay. There are basics, but then there's this, God, give us wisdom for each one. And I won't say it again, so I want you to remember it. Can I just encourage you, moms and dads, talking to fathers here a little bit, can you just take their faces sometimes and just speak to that person? Can you just calm everything down, tell them you love them, kiss them goodnight at bedtime, whatever. I don't know what your routines are, but do not neglect it. Yeah. Do not neglect those moments. I'm telling you, they're more important than all the talking and all the teaching. If you can just zone in on each one and speak life to them. Just like everyone in this room, we want to be noticed by God. We want to be noticed by one another. We want to be appreciated. We want to be thanked. We want to be spoken to. Children 100 times more. And when we don't receive that, and I don't want to go off on that preach, but it's like, I'll say it again, I meet 70-year-old men, 80-year-old men, still looking for the favor of a father that they never got, still looking for the value to be spoken into them they never received. Either their father couldn't or wouldn't or wasn't there, but they never received just that. And they're working and they're doing whatever to just earn just that, just to be noticed, just to be known, just to be spoken. You know, that was good. You did well. And they never hear it. And thank God our Father in heaven is very good at that stuff. He is very good at saying to his son, well done. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what we need to hear. And that's what kids need to hear. Let's look at fathers for a second. This is still talking about kids, but what's our work in there? We were born with two bents. You know that, according to their bent. What's your bent? What's your kid's bent? And we all have good bents, gifted to be interests, desires given by God, so on. Psalm 139. And we have evil bents, what the Bible calls the old nature, the sin nature, needs to be corrected through discipline. I put those in black letters. Discipline, confrontation, correction, in order to help the sides of our character or bent that are not pleasing to God. Can I just put this in here? You need to discipline your kids. You need to teach them discipline. You don't want that kid, your child, to be that one that nobody wants to be around. Nobody wants to invite you because of your children. They're wild. The Bible talks about in Psalm 139, I think it's on the next slide. Can you put it up there? Because I don't want to spend time on this one. I think it is. Or is it not? Is there another one or is that it? Okay. That was just a surprise. Ta-da. I got some good stuff up here. I don't know what you guys are going to look at, but our job, together with God, is to help children know that they are not an accident. No one else is like them. They are unique. Their emotions, their interests, their personalities are one of a kind. Yeah. Amen? A lot of religious groups, I could name some, they say, give me a child till they're five and we'll have them for life. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. That thing. We were talking yesterday at the Silverados, and it was Dave. He could sing the Calvinistic cadets song that he learned when he was, how old were you? Yeah, 7 years old. He can still sing the song to this day. It's burned in his head. I was saying, well, I can say the alphabet backwards. I learned that when I was a kid. ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJHIGFEDCBA. Woo! But what good is that? Train up a child in the way they should go. I'm telling you, when you get it in there, I've said it so many times, if you discipline a child properly, well, by the time they're two, half your job is done. Yeah. It's anyhow, I'll get to that. There's more coming for that. But it's how important it is to speak life into kids when they're little, to speak into our children. And Psalm 139, I want to look at it for 1 second. I'll get to it. That healthy churches are built from healthy families, amen? And healthy families come from healthy churches. And our Father in heaven is the best one to be our best example. I'm looking for Psalm 139. Can you just, if you got a second, go to Psalm 139. And I know you have it all memorized, so you don't really need to go there. But it starts out, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise." I mean, the reason I'm mentioning this chapter, I'm going to go to verse 12 in a second, is God created us, all of us, unique and different. And he knows us. And he says, "You know me. You have searched me." And then if we go later on in the psalm, I go to 13, he says, "For you," just circle, "you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." The reason I'm reading that is how important it is for every person, and I'm talking about children first of all, but everyone in this room to know that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. That you don't have to compare yourself to someone else. You can walk around happy in your skin, knowing that God created you exactly how you are. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got an identity. He's got plans for you and for your life. And that's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians. And he goes back to raise up a child, to train up a child, to according to the will and purposes and plans and what God created them for and their bents and their likenesses and their uniqueness. And raise them up and let them be what God's called them to be. The worst thing you can do is compare one kid to another, one child to another. And I hear parents talking about their favorite child. They need to get a slap on the head. It's like God has made everyone amazing. And he has a purpose and a plan. And he's walking through it. Did I miss something? Go for it. Hallelujah. I appreciate my mother-in-law because if I yell, that was a good preach. Hallelujah. God's not done with you, honey. I'm going to preach until God's done with you. Listen, the greatest gift you can give to your kids is to get free yourself. You can talk to your kids all day about identity and value and purpose and what, and you are stuck in brokenness and unforgiveness and abuse from childhood and all the things in your life, and none of the good stuff translates through to your kids. But when you get free, you are happy in your skin. You are living for Jesus, warts and all. Your kids will be free. And you can speak to them about stuff that's real and that's life. And you know, if you got to be genuine, you got to be genuine, you got to be open, you got to be honest, you got to deal with it, there's times, I'm getting off everything here today, but there's times when you have to say you're sorry to your kids. You know why you need to say sorry to your kids? It sets them free. They realize, hey, I can make mistakes. Mom and dad made mistakes and they repented. They're sorry. And it sets them free. When we just come with this harsh, and Christians, we are sometimes the best at it, just drilling. And we're saying stuff that we shouldn't say. It leaves scars, it leaves stuff written on their birthrights. And that's another sermon that I don't want to preach. But man, the devil wants to write stuff on our birthrights. People put stuff on our birthrights. Teachers will say stuff on our birthrights that are wrong, and we carry them. And how much more important it is for us to speak good life to our family and to our kids. Yeah. Amen. They need to know. Kids need to know that God sees them. We need to know that. And He formed us. I remember some years ago, it was Kim Midgley. Some of you remember Kim, but he had six boys, right? Well, now with a daughter. Five boys, and they adopted a girl. But they would just lay them out on Sunday nights in little sleeping bags, and we were convinced that he had drugged them because they would just sleep so nicely. But he's the one who would, I forget where it was, but he's talking to the youth and the young adults or someone, and he put up these pictures of the most beautiful models, the famous ones, whoever they were at the time. I don't even know who they were, or, you know, musician types. Beautiful. And he would put the pictures up on the slides and, you know, say to the young ladies, you know, you look at that and you think, man, I wish I could be beautiful like that. If I could just have the fame, if I could just whatever. And then he went on to explain every one of those was either divorced, broken, drug addict, messed up. All that beauty, all that comparing, all that helped them nothing. If you're not whole inside, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who God's made you to be, you don't have that peace inside. All of that out there won't help. It's a good show, and you know, we have to have some kind of show. Like, I don't want you to really know who I am, because you wouldn't come back. And I don't want to really know everything about you, because then I wouldn't come back. So it's like, there is that mystery part where God knows, and that's okay. God knows us. But then we also have to just walk in honesty and truth and righteousness and holiness and openness before the Lord. And that sets kids free and sets us free, and we can walk in it. You know, sometimes it's good to just keep a little bit covered. We were in the Seychelles years ago. We were in the Mauritius. Beautiful. I mean, Mozambique. Beautiful. We've been to a mall just off the coast of Africa on holidays or ministering or whatever. I don't know if this is a good example or not, but pray, sister. You're going to remember this one. It's topless everywhere. And all I want to say is sometimes it's much better to keep just a little bit in for the imagination. So, when we are living our lives before God, we don't want everything exposed to the whole world. There are people that need to know us. God knows us. That's the best. Amen? He knows us at our worst. He knows every thought, every detail of our life. And then there are those who we trust with more, and we open up more. And it's not everybody. And I'm warning people, like, I don't know what to say, but guys on social media are losing their minds. Don't put everything out for the whole. We don't want to know it, first of all. And it's harmful, and it's, you can never take it back, and it's fighting and arguing, and it's ugly. Don't do it. Don't put stuff out there that you don't want out there in 10 years. Like, there's stuff that we should just keep between us and God. Is that okay? And then there's the part where we need to be open with our families and with our wives and husbands and children and walk in integrity, walk in the truth, and let them see and know who we are in God. Is that okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Now, this is my text. You can go back to that first slide, maybe. Yeah, not next one. And this is basically what's been said in the chapter. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I like that thought. Obedience is immediate. You have to, it's immediate. There's no getting around. You either obey or you don't. And somehow, we have to encourage our kids to learn obedience. And it starts from little. And you listen, and I'm not Dr. Dobson, and I don't have a 12-chapter book on it. You can go read the books. But if you do not teach your children to obey, if they've never learned to obey a father, a mother, they will battle to obey God. They will battle to obey a school teacher. My older brother was a principal, vice principal for his whole life after teaching at the Ag College in Fairview. But he was a vice principal in Alex for his whole career. And he can tell you, if he was here this morning, he could tell you as the years went by, the grades got younger and younger and younger when the kids came in out of control. And by the time he retired, he said it was a good thing he's retiring because he would be in jail. But he could see about grade 2 children coming in where nobody could talk to that child. Nobody. And if a teacher, a parent, it doesn't matter. Nobody could deal with that. And it just got younger and younger and younger because nobody was taking responsibility to train up a child and to teach them to obey basic obedience, basic honor, basic respect. Honor is a long-term thing. And that's where it comes into all of us here this morning. If you have parents, senior parents, you are called by God to honor them, and obey them. Mothers-in-law. That's a hard one. But Jesus, in Mark and Matthew, you can go look at it later, Matthew 15, Mark 7, he rebukes the Pharisees for not taking care of their parents by using a tradition called Corban. You can go study it. Declaring their money a gift to God to avoid supporting their parents. So they would basically say, everything I have is Corban. It all belongs to God. And it was an excuse for not taking care of their older parents. And they would neglect their parents. And Jesus rebukes them, like serious rebuke, because you're not taking care of your parents. And you're saying, well, it's because, you know, I'm so spiritual and everything I have is God's and so on. I don't know what excuses you come up with. I have my own for not honoring our parents and not walking through life with them. It's long term. And I said it already, it's right up there with don't kill in the commandments because of the importance and the value of it. Now, fathers. Let's talk a little bit about fathers. He says, don't exasperate your children or frustrate them. How do we do that? I know how I do all the time. But through inconsistency, through nonsense, through, you know, I know when I'm frustrating my children. They're all grown up now, so they all got their own lives. I'm done. Good luck, kids. But when you watch parents frustrate their children, fathers particularly, through inconsistency or just by not being there, just, I don't know, AWOL. They're not gone out of the house. They're there, but they're not there. They're not participating. They're not dealing with spiritual issues. They're not taking the time to raise up and to train and to do the things that God's commanded them to do. He says, don't exasperate your children. Don't frustrate them. Don't neglect them. Don't just survive in the house together. I mean, I'm talking about some of the better options. The other ones are just gone, don't exist. But I think, you know, I remember reading a study one time, and the guys who were doing the school shootings, they got all kinds of reasons and so on. But one of them was they all had fathers, because there were, at that time, there was a whole study done with all these first school shooters, and they thought, oh, absent fathers, and that's why most people are in prison. And it's true, there's this whole thing. But when they studied those guys, they were all had fathers and mothers, all living in the same house. Even just that recent one that came up not long ago, he actually bought the rifle. But it's like, they're there, but they're not there. That is more frustrating, I think, than anything. And I've said it, and I'll say it again, and I'll preach it till I die, but I'm thankful that when I wasn't getting my father, he was abusive to my mother and to us, you know, emotionally and physically and whatever. He was alcoholic, and the frustration with that, I can tell you, I was very thankful later to be able to say he wasn't saved. He wasn't a Christian, and he became a Christian at the end of his life. But I don't know what people do when they are raised in the church and they have nowhere else to go, and they're living in these hell holes of emotion and pain and brokenness and struggle, and everybody's saying, oh, we love Jesus. I don't know how you deal with that. I was glad we were just old-fashioned drunkards and sinners that needed to get saved. Don't exasperate. Don't frustrate. Don't neglect the kids because you're so busy or you're tired or you're, I don't know what's going on. We all carry our own rubbish. And I, you know, I talked to you about Dr. Shea and my Christian counseling, going to him for counseling and, you know, talking about my alcoholic background and very first thing, because you got to fill in these forms. You know, if you were raised in an alcoholic home, you've learned to please and to perform and to perfect. You're trying to hope to keep peace. So you learn all these stupid things to kind of get through the process. And you need to be honest about it. You need to look at your life and say, okay, God, what do you need to heal? What are you working on in my life? Because I'm telling you, I'm 67, I think, and every now and then, like just about every day, I see Leo. Leo was my dad. I see Leo coming alive again. It's like, I don't blame everything bad on Leo, but there's a lot of similarities. And I'm like, God, help us. Help us to be that father, to be the mother, to be the caregiver that God wants us to be. Bring them up, he says. There's a whole preach there. Bring them up. Bring them up. In what? In discipline and instruction. This is the work part. That's the work part. This is where it gets real. The work part. Bringing them up. Training, discipling, instructing in the things of God, and it never ends, and it's your whole life. We need to do it. Lifelong, consistent safety. Like, how many points do you want me to bring here this morning? Kids need boundaries. They need safety. They need, you know, they will push the boundaries until they find it, wherever that is. And if they don't find it, they lose their minds. And that's the kids I'm talking about right now. I could tell you the stories of kids we had to work with in family camps and church settings and situations. And if nobody's put boundaries, they're lost. And they're looking for somebody to come along and say, where's the boundary on this thing? Where's the right and wrong? How far can we go? You need to set them. Children out of control, soft parenting. How many stories you want? Has become an excuse for lousy parenting. You're too tired, you're too preoccupied, you're too selfish to care and notice what's going on around you. All of these things talk about the power of a father in a child's life. Every child needs their father. They need their mother. And maybe I need to end. And I've used the example before, but men, I see it all the time now because I've talked about it. Like, you know, when you talk about something, it's like when you get engaged and you see everybody's got an engagement ring, and you buy a Dodge Caravan, you know, one of the top models in the country. All you see is Dodge Caravans everywhere in the world. But it's like sitting in a restaurant, just the other day again, you see a father and a son, and there must be something going on special, or they're divorced and this is their special time. I don't know what's going on, but you watch them, and I saw it again the other day. This father starts tearing into the son. He messed up. I don't know what he did, spilled, and I've done it, so I'm like, but I'm saying you notice it more. You watch for it now that I've talked about it. And they're sitting there, and you just see this kid shrink. And it's uncomfortable. Those of us around, the kid, everybody. And then the good side is what I want to get to. I've seen it again and again and again. A father and a son sitting in a restaurant. The sun is shining, and the son is in a wheelchair. The son has some type of handicap. And the father's speaking nicely, and he's wiping his mouth, and he's feeding him, and they're just talking, and the sun is shining, and you just see that kid grow in front of everybody. And that's the power that we have to speak life, to bring hope, to raise up, to bring up. Bring up. That's the word I'm hoping you'll remember. Bring up. Are you bringing them up? Or are we doing the other things? And I'm like, God, help us to bring them up through training. Man, it never ends. And through instruction. And like I said, that's the hard part. Here's the good news. God is the best father that there is. I remember a prophet many years ago speaking to us. We were just newly saved. Well, I guess not that far back. But he just was ministering. And I remember him saying to me about a bunch of things. But what I'm relating to this morning is you've never seen an example growing up of what a father actually should be. And it was hitting hard. It was like, and then, but he said, but God is a good father. And when God comes in, he can heal circumstance, heal stuff that nobody, no amount of fathering can help. No psychologist can deal with. God can deal with. He comes into our home and into our hearts and into our life and just speaks purpose and value and why we're on the planet. And yes, I have value. I am a child of God. And I just pray this morning that that message sinks into us sitting here this morning. Everybody in this room, just the amazing value of God on your life. And then from that place, it flows into the kids and flows into our families. Because if you are here this morning, may I talk to the ladies, and you don't value yourself, you wrestle with identity, wrestle with who you are and comparing. I don't even want to name things. It is very hard to have this amazing flow to children. Or if you're a father here and a husband and a man in this house, and you carry around this sense of perfection or pleasing or performing or somehow just, I don't know what, comparing yourself, you know, there's others with wealth and there's others with this, and you will have a hard time to speak life to your kids. And God is good at just healing that stuff. Coming into our lives and just, thank God. I'm not all that yet, but I'm not that. Hallelujah. He's brought me through, and I have stuff to offer. I have margins in my life for my family and for my kids. That's my prayer this morning. And and Brad's going to come, and he's going to finish this whole service off so amazing, so beautiful. But our prayer this morning is for families. Fathers, mothers who are here, for families. And there's every kind of family there is right now. And we're all in this thing fighting for life. And we need to encourage each other. And we need to stand with each other and as a family of God. Amen? Amen. Welcome. I'm going to invite the band to come.